Paragraph Kuf Mem Aleph, 141. Here Rav Nosson Zal elaborates on the Tikkun HaKloli that Rabbeinu Zal revealed. In chapter 92 of the second half of Likutei Moran, there Rabbeinu Zal begins, Tikkun Lemikro Laila Rachmono Litzlon, Loimar Asoro Kapitel Tehillim. The Tikkun for Mikre Laila, Mikre means something that happens by accident. If a person chas v'shalom has an accident in middle of the night during their sleep, when there's chas v'shalom zera levatola, there's seed that's released, the Sforim HaKdoshim, the Gemara, the Zohar HaKodesh, all Sifrei Kabbalah, all Sifrei Hasidus write that this is a very powerful form of tumah. It's a tremendous tumah, and a person needs to do what they can to wipe out this tumah, because the Arizal says that this particular item, more than any other Avera, creates mazikin. It creates destructive forces. Malachi Chabola, angels who can do harm to Klal Yisrael, to the whole world. So we have to see to do something to neutralize them, to erase this. And the different Sforim, the Zohar HaKodesh and the Reish Chachma, they mention the importance of mikveh, that toiveling in the mikveh is a major, major tikkun for this and for everything. But Rabbeinu Zal added to this, besides mikveh, as we're going to see, which Rabbeinu Zal considered very, very important, in addition to mikveh, Rabbeinu Zal spoke about these 10 chapters of Tehillim, as is explained in Torah Reish Hei, in chapter 205, in the first half of Likutei Moran. Whereas now in chapter 92, he actually goes ahead and lists which are the 10 chapters. 16, 31, 41, 42, 59, 77, 90, 105, 137, and 150. Now Rav Nosson Zal begins here by saying, you should know, my brother. Rav Nosson Zal uses the word ochi, which he doesn't use so often. He's showing an extra hiskarvus here when he's talking about this, because this is so special that Rabbeinu Zal was successful in revealing the tikkun for this item. And Rav Nosson Zal says, in the beginning, when Rabbeinu Zal spoke about this, I was not there at the time. He spoke about it in front of other Talmidim, but then Hashem helped me that I was zeichet a short while later, after Rabbeinu Zal started revealing this, and his son-in-law, Reb Yitzchok, one of Rabbeinu Zal's sons-in-law, told over what he had heard from Rabbeinu Zal on this topic. And then, shortly afterwards, Hashem worked it out that I spoke to Rabbeinu Zal about this, and Rabbeinu Zal himself told me briefly what he said in chapter 205 in Likutei Moran. At that time, when he revealed that Torah, he did not specify which 10 chapters of Tehillim it is. He just said that in order for a person to make a tikkun, a complete correction for this type of tumah, a person should recite 10 chapters of Tehillim, period. And I heard that Rabbeinu Zal said that it would be the right thing to reveal which are the 10 chapters. However, the truth is, any 10 chapters that a person will say are a tikkun for this, because all 10 chapters of Tehillim, throughout the whole Sefer Tehillim, whichever ones they are all tied into the 10 types of song which the Sefer Tehillim is based on, which serve as a tikkun for this. Now, at the time that Rabbeinu Zal spoke about this, he said that the first tikkun is mikveh, that a person has to try as quickly as possible after this happens to them to toivel in the mikveh. And then Rabbeinu Zal revealed the tikkun of the 10 chapters of Tehillim. Rabbeinu Zal also said once that a person has to be very careful to make sure to dip in the mikveh on that day, on the same day that this occurred to them. And even if they're not able to go in the morning, right away in the morning for whatever reason, still they should try to make sure before sunset, before nightfall, to make sure to go. Sometimes if a person doesn't get a chance to go in the morning, they say, oh, I missed it. Going in the afternoon is not, it's not the same. The day is almost over. But when Rabbeinu Zal said, when it comes to this, if chas v'shalom a person has a mikra at night, they should try their best within that day to make sure they get to the mikveh. after this, Rav Nosson Zal says, approximately 4 years after Rabbeinu Zal started the discussion about this, and Rav Nosson Zal says, for me to tell you what went on during those 4 years, there isn't enough paper to write how much went on, what we went through during those 4 years. And Rabbeinu Zal already had his sickness of tuberculosis. He was already suffering from the tuberculosis, which was the last 3 years of his life. And he had already returned from his visit to Lemberg, where he met with doctors and professors there. So one time, during the winter, Rabbeinu Zal was lying in bed, and we were standing in front of him, some of his students, and he began to speak about these 10 chapters of Tehillim that are a tikkun for this problem called Mikre Laila, Chas V'Shalom. And then Rabbeinu Zal instructed me to write down the psukim in Tehillim which allude to the 10 types of song which are a tikkun for this. And Rav Nosson Zal writes, I sat and I wrote, and Rabbeinu Zal read to me the psukim in Tehillim which highlight the 10 types of song which Tehillim is based on. And these psukim are found in chapter 92 in the second half of Likutei Moran. And that's when Rabbeinu Zal revealed that he wants to tell us which 10 chapters of Tehillim specifically are the formula for this tikkun. So we were standing there waiting for him to say it, and he didn't. Afterwards, Rav Nosson Zal says, I left to go back home, and then I came back to the city of Breslov on a particular Shabbos, and Hashem made it that I saw a piece of paper on which Rabbeinu Zal had written for himself the 10 chapters of Tehillim, the numbers of the 10 chapters of Tehillim that a person needs to say. But Rav Nosson Zal says, I felt that it wouldn't be respectful for me to take that and copy it over without permission. So I thought, at least let me try to memorize it. But I couldn't, out of the respect for my Rebbe, out of the fear of my Rebbe, my brain wouldn't allow me to make a copy of it in my brain without clear permission. Because Chas V'Shalom, who knows, maybe Rabbeinu Zal be angry, because again, I had walked into his room and saw this piece of paper and looked at it without his permission. And Rav Nosson Zal says this took place on Shabbos Parsha Shkolim, which is a little bit before the holiday of Purim, of the year Tov Kuf Ayin, a year before Rabbeinu Zal passed away. When Rabbeinu Zal had gone out of his room and gone into another large room during Kriya Satoira, and Rav Nosson Zal writes, I had entered into his room for some reason, and I saw that piece of paper on which Rabbeinu Zal had written for himself these 10. The following day, on Sunday, Yom Rishon, when I was saying goodbye to Rabbeinu Zal to go back home, I spoke with him, and I asked him to please tell me which ones are exactly the 10 chapters, because I knew that he already had written it down, and Rabbeinu Zal didn't want to. And he said, there'll be time for this. So I left. Afterwards, a short while later, when I was in Nemirov, Rav Nosson Zal says, when I was back home, that was when Rabbeinu Zal revealed the numbers of these 10 chapters in front of two of my closest friends, Reb Aaron Zal, the Rav of the city of Breslov, and Reb Naftoli Zal, who also lived in Nemirov, where Rav Nosson Zal lived. And Rabbeinu Zal actually took them as witnesses, and he said to them, Rabbeinu Zal said the following words, because of the fact that in this problem of Mikre Laila, two-thirds of the world are nichshal in this. Therefore, I'm taking both of you as my witnesses that you should know that these 10 chapters of Tehillim, reciting these 10 chapters of Tehillim, helps tremendously to serve as a tikkun for this pigam called Keri. And it's a complete tikkun, and it helps tremendously. Ma'oid, ma'oid, Rabbeinu Zal said. Now, Rabbeinu Zal spoke about this and he said, there are times that this happens to a person not because of the fact that they were thinking bad thoughts or they were looking at things they weren't supposed to look at, but it could happen to a person if a person eats too much or drinks too much, especially before going to sleep. Or sometimes it could happen to a person when the person's feeling especially weak and tired. A person takes a long trip, a long journey, and they finally arrive at their destination and they're wiped out from the travel, sometimes that could cause it. Or sometimes it be caused by the fact that the person isn't sleeping properly. We know the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch say that it's very much preferred when a person lays down, when they lay down in the beginning of the night, they should lay on their left side so that if they ate or drank before that, it allows the body to digest the food that they ate or drank properly while they're sleeping. And then it says that if a person wakes up in the middle of the night, they should turn over on their right side. But a person should not sleep, a Jew should not sleep on his stomach or on his back. Both of these lying on the stomach makes a person especially vulnerable for this type of problem, chas v'shalom, this kind of mikra. And lying on one's back, facing Hashem that way, is also considered to be disrespectful to Hashem. A person is supposed to lie on his side, again, to start off on the left side and then switch to the right side, if possible. So Rabbi Nazar said that if this mikra laila happens to a person because of these reasons, because he ate too much or drank or weak or tired, then it doesn't count. It's not considered that super tumah, that major pigam that creates these mazikin, these damaging forces. But rather, chas v'shalom, it's like a baby wets themselves at night, chas v'shalom, that kind of thing. Rabbi Nazar added, there are times that min hashamayim, from heaven, they protect a person from having this happen to them. And then Rabbi Nazar added, sometimes when a person's sleeping, they'll experience a feeling like they're falling. They're suddenly falling, and then they wake up. That's also something min hashamayim, something from heaven, where the person is being shown that he's being saved from this pigam, this type of thing, a mikra. It's only when it happens to a person because of the fact that the person was thinking sinful thoughts, then this type of accidental omission results in creating klipos and forces of tumah, as is found in many svarim. However, a person who on the day that this happens to him will recite these 10 chapters of Tehillim will definitely repair any damage done in a tremendous way. And again, remember the day, the Jewish day, begins from the night. So when we're talking about repairing it that day, we mean the following morning and throughout the day. Rabbi Nisal went on to explain that there were many, many tzaddikim from the beginning of time who studied this. They worked very hard to try to discover the complete tikkun for this. Some of them didn't understand it whatsoever. Some of them knew a little bit about it, they understood it a little bit, but they passed away while they were in the middle of researching this, and they were not zeicher to complete it. But me, Rabbi Nazar said, Hashem helped me that I was zeicher to understand this completely, and I was zeicher to discover the complete tikkun for this. And this tikkun of reciting these 10 chapters of Tehillim is something brand new. No other tzaddik before ever revealed it, ever knew about it. It's a chiddush nifla, and it is tikkun nifla v'noira ma'oid ma'oid. It's an incredible, awesome tikkun. If a person can go to the mikveh first and then say the 10 chapters, then it's excellent. However, even if there's a situation where the person can't go to the mikveh, for example, the person is sick, or they're traveling, they find themselves in a place where there is no mikveh, still, if a person will say these 10 chapters, ashrei loy, he's very, very lucky, because it's an awesome, great tikkun. Now, if the person will say it with kavana, where he understands the words that he's saying, then it's excellent, it's very, very good. But even if he doesn't, even for those people who don't understand the Lashon Kodesh, the Hebrew, and they don't have a translation, just saying the words themselves is very good. And Rabbi Nazar said that this tikkun was not known from the time of creation. Nobody knew about this. Now Rabbi Nazar added, probably you would understand that I would have liked to eliminate this completely. Just like the Gemara says, for example, that at one point the rabbis prayed very hard to remove the taiva for avodah zarah from the world, and they succeeded. So Rabbi Nazal said, I also would have wanted maybe to eliminate this problem completely, that it shouldn't exist. However, Rabbi Nazal said, this is impossible. It's impossible begashmius, and it's impossible beruchnius. Begashmius, on a physical level, it's impossible because it would require changing the nature, the natural makeup of a human being on a permanent level. And we know that that's something that's impossible. Even Moshe Rabbeinu or other great tzaddikim who performed miracles, they were mevatel the teva for a period of time, a short period of time, kriyas yamsuf. The sea split for a certain period of time, but then it went back to its normal order, or other miracles. And again, it was only regarding a specific body of water, the kriyas yamsuf, or the splitting of the Jordan River that Yeshua did, and it was only for a short period of time. Whereas to change the teva of people permanently, that's something that cannot be done. That's on a physical level. And Rabbi Nazal said, Baruch Nias also, it's not what Hashem wants. Hashem doesn't want this thing to be eliminated completely because of the fact that there are certain benefits in this. We find that Rabbi Nazal says in another place that sometimes the reason why this happens to a person is because the person has a hidden tumah inside of them that they don't even realize, they don't know about, and the only way it can come out of a person is in this manner. And again, Rabbi Nosson Zal emphasizes that Rabbi Nazal took those two great rabbis as witnesses, and he said to them, Shegam kiyimlu yomov, that even Rabbi Nazal said, even when my days are over, when I complete my stay on this earth and I pass away, anyone who will come to my grave and they'll recite these 10 chapters of Tehillim over there and they'll give a coin to charity on my behalf, no matter how big that person's sins are, no matter how many sins they committed, no matter how bad a life they led, I will do everything in my power. I'll extend myself to the length and the breadth in order to help that person and to make a tikkun for that person. And Rabbi Nazal added that I'm positive about everything I say, but regarding this, I'm more positive than anything else that I said, that these 10 chapters of Tehillim help tremendously. And then Rabbi Nosson goes on to list them again, 16, 32, 41, 42, 59, 77, 90, 105, 137, and 150. And Rabbi Nosson Zal writes that this has been published in many places, and he says, unfortunately, when they did the first printing of Sipure Maisius, accidentally there was an error there where they wrote chapter 133 instead of 137. Because a Gimel and a Zion are very similar to each other in the way it's printed in a Sefer Torah. And unfortunately, in some places, that mistake carried over. But it's clear to all of us that the chapter Rabbi Nazal had in mind was 137. And Rabbi Nazal said that this is Tikkun HaKloli. Kloli means general Tikkun, meaning that besides the fact that it's a repair for this specific tumah, it's a repair for any sin or any type of tumah or any type of problem that a Jew could possibly have, spiritually, materialistically, in anything. And Rabbi Nazal went on to say, each and every individual sin has a specific tikkun that's related to that sin. But this tikkun of Tikkun HaKloli applies to all of them. And he said that this is something that should be publicized to everybody. Now Rabbi Nazal added that even though this is something relatively easy, how difficult is it for a Jew to recite 10 chapters of Tehillim? He said still there are going to be many people that are going to find this very difficult to fulfill. They're going to come up with 100 excuses and there's going to be 100 obstacles to block them from doing this. And Rav Nosson Zal says, sure enough, we saw this even during our time, that because of the major opposition against Breslov, against Rabbeinu Zal, the majority of people still do not say that. They don't do this. However, Rabbeinu Zal told us in advance, and we did what we could to publicize this, to let the world know about this, this great tikkun, and let each person do what they think is right. Those who listen will listen, and those who don't, it's their issue. At least we have saved ourselves by publicizing this in whatever ways we could. Now, Rav Nosson Zal adds that there's a sefer called Tikkun Shabbos, and the author of that sefer mentions the Tikkun HaKloli, but he quotes it in the name of a different sefer called Asara Hilulim. He doesn't quote it in the name of Rabbeinu Zal. Rav Nosson Zal writes that you should know, if you take a look in the sefer Tikkun Moed, you'll see that in that sefer, it says very clearly that it was Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbi Nachman Mibreslov, that was the one who revealed this. And so to other sforim that quote this, they all quote it in the name of Rabbeinu Zal. And if you look carefully, he says, if you look in any of the sforim that quote any other sources, those other sources were all printed after Rabbeinu Zal passed away. He says, maybe, could be that rabbi or other rabbis, because they wanted people to say this. And they knew that there are some people who, if they know that it's Breslov, they know if it's Rabbeinu Zal, they won't say it. So therefore, they fulfilled the words in the Gemara in Yevamos, page 65, where the Gemara says, you're allowed to lie for the sake of peace. Especially if it comes to so great a tikkun like this. If you want a person to have the tikkun, so again, you're allowed to, that the person shouldn't know the true source of it. Possibly that was the reason. But Rav Nosson Zal adds that this is a new tikkun that nobody from the time of creation knew until Rabbeinu Zal revealed it. And he adds that it's very good when a person says this, that they should say this in the name of Rabbeinu Zal. That I'm saying these 10 chapters because this tzaddik, Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbi Nachman ben Feger, said we should do this. In order that Rabbeinu Zal should have the privilege of having his lips move in the grave. The Gemara says that when you say something in the name of a particular tzaddik, that tzaddik is the one who taught you this, even though, again, Rabbeinu Zal didn't write the Sefer Tehillim, Dovid HaMelech wrote it, other tzaddikim. But if I say that I'm reciting these 10 chapters because my Rebbe said so, because Rabbeinu Zal said, it's a tremendous benefit to the neshama of the tzaddik, whereby tzaddikim yearn for this. And Rav Nosson Zal says, this is why we revealed it and explained it this way, and let the zchus of Rabbeinu Zal stand for us and protect us from all of our sins, from all of our suffering. Amen. Ken Yehi Rotzon.